Blog Talk Radio.
Just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock, starting at 7 o'clock. We're going to have prayer, and our speaker this evening is a dynamic speaker from out of Long Island, New York. I will allow her to introduce herself when she comes on. We're going to have prayer, then we're going to turn it on over to her. Father, we come to thank you for this day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the listeners that are on this evening, Heavenly Father, will be blessed by your word, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity. We pray that you would bless the speaker, Heavenly Father, this evening as we move forward, Heavenly Father, to lift up the name of Jesus. We bless all those, Heavenly Father, who are listening, and we just give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in the majestic name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Nixon, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Pastor?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are blessed. We are blessed to have you with us once again. We're going to turn the mic over to you. Before you do that, could you basically introduce yourself to those who are listening who are new? Where you're from, the name of your church. Amen.
Amen. Hi, I am Pastor Dawn Nixon. I am the executive pastor of Mount Calvary Holy Church's church in Huntington, Long Island, where my senior pastor is Pastor Gloria Nixon. We are under the organization of the Bishop Alfred A. Owens of Washington, D.C., and we are grateful to be with you on the air online today. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be able to speak with you on tonight. We have awesome, awesome word for you tonight, and I pray that what we say on tonight will bless your life and you will not leave this line the same way you came. I want to thank our Elder Clay and his lovely wife for allowing us to come and be part of this online ministry today. I want to go forth in the Word of God tonight, and we're going to go to Genesis 29, and we're going to read verses 9 to 28. It's a familiar passage of Scripture to some people, but we want to kind of open it up on tonight. I will be reading from the Amplified Bible tonight to try to give a little bit more clarity to what we're dealing with tonight. But we're going to the book of Genesis, or as you may say, Genesis. Genesis is the genealogy of the Bible. And so Genesis 29, chapter 29, verses 9 through 28. Genesis 29, verses 9 to 28. It starts by reading, "While he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she shepherded them. And when Jacob saw Rachel, daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his uncle, Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of his uncle Laban. Then Jacob kissed Rachel, and he wept aloud. Verse 12, Jacob told Rachel he was her father's relative, Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. When Laban heard of the arrival of Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced and kissed him and brought him to his house. And Jacob told Laban all these things. Then Laban said to him, 'Surely you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh.' And Jacob stayed with him a month. And then Laban said to Jacob, just because you are my relative, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?' Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak and dull-looking, but Rachel was beautiful and attractive. And Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, 'I will work for you for 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter.' And Laban said, 'It is better that I give her to you than to another man. Stay and live with me.' Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Finally, Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my time is completed, so that I may take her to me." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast with drinking. But when night came, he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, who had intercourse with her. And Laban gave Zilpah, his maid, to his daughter Leah to be her maid. But in the morning, Jacob saw his wife. Behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not work for you all those 7 years for Rachel? Why then have you deceived and cheated and thrown me down like this?" Verse 26. And Laban said, "It is not permitted in our country to give the younger in marriage before the elder. Finish the wedding feast week for Leah. Then we will give you Rachel. Also, you shall work for me yet 7 more years in return." And so Jacob complied and fulfilled Leah's week, and then Laban gave him Rachel, his daughter, as his wife. I want to kind of read verse 27 again. "Finish the wedding feast week for Leah. Then we will give you Rachel also, and you shall work for me yet 7 more years in return." I want to deal with the subject on today, when the weight is greater than the weight. In other words, when the weight, W-A-I-T, is greater than the weight, W-E-I-G-H-T. Many of us have been weighed down by the cares of life, which has caused us to struggle through a lot of adversity. But it amazes me that how we will take the physical weight of life and carry that as heavy as it is, and we will drop it very quickly. But we'll take the emotional weight we have and carry them for years. We hold on to hurt, we hold on to brokenness, tragedy, and we will carry it until it becomes a burden that we choose to live with. Because if we put them down, we will no longer have anything to identify us. In other words, we have become so accustomed to the things that we carry that they have become a part of who we are, and they identify who we are, so that we're so comfortable with it that we don't know how to leave them alone. Because we would rather hold on to something that we are comfortable with than to take a chance to reach out for what God has for us, because it will make us uncomfortable. And we lose out on the blessings of God because we will not allow ourselves to trust God enough to put the weight in our lives down and wait on God for his blessings. The Bible lets us know in Romans 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And so we try to let things go emotionally. We have allowed ourselves to find comfort as if it were a blanket for us. And so we get into a place where we're accustomed and we live with depression, we live with heartbreak, and we allow that to become a part of us. I had gone to a store. We have a store out here called The Fountain where we buy our water, and there's some natural things that you can get from there. And I went in there, and there was a very wise young man that was in there. And so somebody had hooked me on to some water called alkaline water. And so when I went there, I talked to the young man. The young man said, "Well, how are you today?" And we normally respond, not necessarily how we feel, but we normally respond what we're just accustomed to saying. We'll say stuff like, "Well, I'm tired today," or "I'm just a little stressed out today." And I fell into the same accustomed things that we all sometimes do. And he says to me, he says, "Well, how are you doing?" I said, "I'm feeling a little stressed today." He said, "Well, why are you feeling stressed?" He said, "Why don't you just let the stress go?" And I said, "Well, that's easier said than done." He said, "No, let me show you something." And so he pulled out a glass and he filled it up with water, and he said to me, "How much water do you think is in that glass?" I said, "Approximately 1 to 2 ounces of water maybe in that glass." He said, "You're about right." He said, "What if I asked you to hold this glass, pick it up?" He said, and I picked the glass up, and he says, "Is that heavy?" I said, "No, it's not heavy." He said, "But what if I asked you to hold this glass for 10 minutes? Would you feel the same way about what you're holding?" And I said, "No, for sure. I don't think that I can hold this particular glass for 10 minutes or longer because it then will become too heavy for me." And he said, "Well, what would you do if it becomes too heavy for you?" I said, "I'll just put it down." He said, "So why don't you take the emotional things of life or the stressful things of life and just put it down?" And sometimes it can be just that easy to put it down because we are so comfortable with what we have. We choose to hold on to what we have, and we allow ourselves to become comfortable with it. And so we hold on to things that we really don't have to hold on to, and it allows us to be burdened down with the cares of life. When I look at the word weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, it is the amount or quantity of heaviness, something we just have to endure or to let go. Notice that God will not put more on us than we can bear. When we take the quantity or the heaviness, we often around sometimes we pick up different things around the house because we know that we're not going to hold it for long periods of time. But when I look at the word weight, W-A-I-T, it means to remain inactive until something expected happens. Wow. Yeah, it's something about how we stay inactive in life because we are waiting of what we expect to happen. And when it doesn't happen, it takes us by surprise, and we have to wait so long. So a lot of times when we ask God, as we have now, many people have their room, and we called it back in the old day, we called it our prayer room. But we would go into our prayer room or go into our prayer time, and we would ask God for things, and we would ask God to supply needs and things that we may have laid before God. And we find ourselves sometimes when we ask God for some certain things or some things in life, we find ourselves waiting on God for him to answer us. And it seems as if it's more difficult to wait for God than to physically carry things around, because we will put things down quickly. But when we wait on God and we know that God is going to do a turnaround for our life, we're praying for our sons, we're praying for our daughters, we're praying for our churches, we're praying for our leaders, and it seems as if it's taking God so long to move things in our direction. in for what we ask for. But I've learned over the time and over the years that when you get to a place of spiritual maturity, you will find that when you're waiting on God, you may be inactive where you are in certain things in life. But if you're waiting on God and God promises the thing that he's going to fulfill, he's not going to allow anything to happen until the what you are expecting to take place to come forth. And so a lot of times we're dealing with the waiting period. It's a difficult time, the waiting period, waiting for God to move, waiting for God to answer, waiting for God to do what he says he's going to do. Trust and believe that if God said he's going to do it, the hardest thing you're really going to have to deal with is waiting. And so when we're waiting on God, we find ourselves in a place where we feel as if we're inactive. But can I tell you, when you're in a place where you're inactive, when God breaks you forth and you come forth out of what you're going through, you're going to be the most powerful person. In that end time of inactive moment, you're going to find yourself getting closer to God, because that's when we pray the most. We pray the most when it seems as if nothing's happening in our life. That's when we get closer to God, because it seems as if death is not going to come. And so we seek the face of God more often when things are not going right than when things are all right all the time. And so here, let's look at this particular text concerning Jacob, Rachel, and Leah. This is one of my favorite stories, because here Jacob comes into town and he finds his family. And in finding his family, he finds himself in a place where he begins to work for his uncle. His uncle says to him, "Well, I can't have you around here working and I don't give you something, or I don't pay you any wages. Basically, what could I give you that you may want?" And he says, "Well, I've fallen for your daughter, Rachel." It's amazing to me in this text, if you look at it, how they describe Rachel and they describe Leah. The Bible says that Leah was, in some scriptures, called tender-eyed. She was maybe not the prettiest woman, but when they bring forth the description of Rachel, they talk about how beautiful she was. And so the Bible says that Laban, Jacob's uncle, says, "Well, if you want Rachel, then I'm going to have to tell you that you're going to have to work for me about 7 years. And when you work about 7 years, then I will give you Rachel." And so he works for 7 years, but he says in the working for 7 years, it felt like just a few days because of his love for Leah. It's something about how you are in a place where you're so excited and you're willing to do the work of the Lord, and we get excited because we have an expectancy that something's great going to happen in the end. So here, Jacob works, and he works those 7 years, and when that time was completed, he went to his uncle and says, "Now this is the time for you to give me my wife, Rachel." And when he says to him, he says, "Okay, we're going to put things together. We're going to put the wedding feast together." And I'm sure Jacob is excited, because this is the time and this is the season where he's getting ready to start a new life, start his family. But the Bible says that when the wedding came forth at the wedding night, that when he woke up the next morning, it was not Rachel, but it was Leah that he had joined with. Someone would say, "Now, you know, that's something how he deceived Jacob." But, you know, if you go in the history of who Jacob is known as the heel catcher. He is known as a deceiver. He is so it's not something that Jacob isn't familiar with. It's not something that Jacob hasn't even done himself. But here he waited. I'm sure the time that he waited seemed as if it was forever. And when he got to that place, you're going to have. The Bible says that Laban says to him, he says, it is our custom in our area that we are not allowed to allow the younger daughter to marry before the elder daughter. I'm sure Laban knew this before he made the feast and had the marriage feast going forth, but he deceived Jacob. Yes, and still, Jacob loved Rachel so much. He says, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to fulfill Leah her week. Give her her time. And then after that, I will give you Rachel. And the Bible says, and he gave him Rachel, and then he worked 7 more years. And so here, Laban is getting all of this work done. I'm sure things were happening for Laban. His family, his resources had increased because of Jacob. And so now he says, okay, now you have to work for Rachel 7 more years. I'll give her to you, but you're going to have to wait until you can't just take your family off and leave. You're going to have to work for me 7 more years. It's something how God has to put you in. Sometimes we're put in position where we have to wait. Oh my goodness, it's something because it's so difficult to be. We're living in a life where, or in a society now where we wait for nothing. We wait absolutely for nothing. We don't wait for our food. We don't wait for marriages. We don't wait for just things, how things are supposed to go, and we, to the point where we just drive through, go past the window and pick up food, and we find ourselves in a place where what we have to wait for. Everything is at our fingertips. We want something, we want to know about recipes. We go to Google and we find whatever we need. We find it right there because we are in a place where we are impatient people, where we are not willing to wait. And so when we are used to getting what we want when we want, it is difficult when God makes us wait. And so when God makes us wait for certain things, then we find ourselves in a place where, how in the world am I going to be able to accomplish this? When I was growing up, we didn't have microwaves. We had ovens. If we wanted to reheat our food leftovers, we didn't go to a microwave. We had to wait until the food was reheated. But we are so impatient now that we will accept the fact that if we put it in the microwave, it's not going to come out as good. It's not going to taste as good. And most of the time when food has been left over, especially if it's in a gravy or some type of sauce and it's marinated a little bit longer, when we put it back in the oven, it tastes better than it did when we first cooked it. But now we're living in a day where we cannot wait for anything, or we don't want to wait for anything, and we microwave it. Then we find ourselves putting it in the microwave too long because then we end up eating food that tastes like rubber because we're not willing to wait. And God is trying to let us know sometimes you've got to wait on him, because what you're waiting for at the end of the day is going to be worth your while. At the end of what you're going through, at the end of the tragedy, after the end of the heartache and the brokenness, he said, I want you to learn how to wait on me, because then you're going to appreciate what you went through at the end of your story. And so when we get to a place where we start understanding what God is trying to do, yeah, I understand that the waiting on God seems greater than the actual physical work that we go through. But I promise you that God is a God, when he allows you to come forth and break forth from what you're going through. And I tell you, if you look, I may even go into next week, the next month, and talk about what happens to Jacob after he waits. The blessing of God comes over to him after he waits. So what I want to understand is nothing wrong with waiting on God when you got a promise. Oh, God, that's good. When you're waiting on God with a promise, when you're waiting and God has already spoken in your life that this is supposed to happen for you, I tell you that God will allow things to come in your life. And what you think is a tragedy ends up being your blessing. Because at the end of the we will realize that the blessing of God is so much greater. I want to talk to somebody out there tonight who's been waiting on God, who's been waiting for the turnaround. Somebody says, well, Pastor, you don't realize that I've been waiting on God for 2 years. I've been waiting on God for 4 years. I've been waiting on God for 5 years. However long you've been waiting on God for, if you have a promise, it's something about how we got to wait, and we're watching everybody around us getting blessed, and it seems as if the blessing isn't coming our way. We get frustrated in the wait. My God, we get frustrated because, first of all, we're waiting and we're inactive. Everybody else around us is moving, but we're not going anywhere.
Yes, Lord.
Further in life than where we should be. I'm getting ready to help somebody right here. A lot of times we set goals in life, but we never set goals with pitfalls. We never set goals with heartbreaks. We never set goals with things that are going to happen in our life. So a lot of times we believe that we should be much further than where we are, not realizing that God has already ordained our steps. They have already been ordained. He already knows what's about to take place in your life. But if we can trust God when we can't trace him and when we can't, and believe God that God, you know better than I do what is in my destiny or in my future. So I'm going to lay back and chill. I'm going to sit here and be inactive while God is working things out for my good.
Yes,
God is smoothing out the pathways. Because I remember when I was growing up, they would have a devotional service and they would have the prayer before devotional, and they would say something in their prayer. God, we thank you for keeping us from dangers seen and unseen. And a lot of times I thank God for the things that I've seen, but how many things that God has kept me from that I never had to have contact with because he allowed me to be covered from that. And so I realize that even in my waiting period, I have to trust God because I realize and recognize that God knows better than I do. And so I want to encourage my sister and my brothers who are out there struggling, who the enemy has tried to make you believe that you're doing all this work for nothing. You're paying your tithe and you're getting nothing. You're going to church and you're worshiping and you're getting nothing. It seems as if you're doing everything else and everybody else around you is getting blessed but you. I come to let you know that God will expose you to the enemy so that he can get the glory out of it. Let me tell you something. If I'd rather wait on God and get the blessings that I am supposed to have, then ask God to quickly or put my blessings in a microwave and get it any kind of way. You got to realize that God wants to bless you in the season that you're supposed to be blessed. Let me share this story with you as well. I was talking to a friend of mine, and they were telling me how they had gone to Maryland, and they went because they went to this particular place because they were looking for crab. And it said Crab Shack on the store. And so they went there for crabs. The only problem was they went to the Crab Shack out of season. I'm getting ready to help somebody here tonight. They went to the Crab Shack, and so they said to them, well, we want to order a bushel of crabs. They said, well, we don't have crabs. He said, well, how are you going to be a Crab Shack and don't have crabs? He said, it's not that we don't have crabs. We can get you crabs, but you're not going to get the crabs that you're looking for because they're out of season. Oh, my God, I'm trying to help somebody in here. Because you're trying to rush God for your blessing. You're trying to rush God for everything in life. And God says, what if I give you what you want right now, it's not going to be the way it's supposed to be because it's not your season. Oh, my God, I'm about to have a fit up in here tonight. I wish I had a church in there with me. My God, it's not your season, but he says, I can give it to you, but you're not going to get what you want. I'd rather wait on God and wait for my season. It doesn't matter how long it takes. I know that there's somebody out there who's been waiting on God for certain things in life, but I'm going to help you today. When your season comes forth, God is going to bless you in an overflow to the point where you're not going to have to live on what's in the cup. You're going to have to live on what's on the overflow. And the wonderful thing about that is you're looking for a big pusher when God is trying to give you an overflow. God is trying to give you the overflow to the point where you're not living off of what is in the bucket, but you're living on what's outside the bucket. And not only that, but everybody around you living off what you have, because God said, I'm going to bless you so much that everybody that's connected to you has to be a part of the blessing, because your blessing is spilling over. And so God's in a place now where I'm trying to get our people to understand, I know you're going through. This ain't the first time, and it's not going to be the last. But when you get to the place where you are maturing God and understand that this blessing, I can wait for. While everybody else is getting the cars, and they're getting the homes, they're getting the hubbies, and they're getting the wives, this blessing I think I can wait for, because when God gives it to me, there's no devil in hell that can take it away from me. When he blesses
me, Lord, this time,
oh, my God, he's going to bless my children to come forth. He's going to bless everybody connected, my church, my pastor, my cousins, my pookie, and all of them
because
we are in a season of blessing because we waited on God. And so I want us to understand that the weight sometimes is greater than the actual physical weight. But at the end of the day, when I've waited on God, when I trusted God, even when I'm in a place of not being active. And sometimes it's hard for busy people not to be active. It's hard for us sometimes to stand still to see the salvation of the Lord, because we always want to get our hands. Let me help you with another story concerning Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah had put their hand in what God had already called for, and gave them a promise, but because they did not trust God, or their faith was shaken, they decided to help God out. There's so many of us who are listening on this line right now, who are right now in the situation where you're trying to help God out. And when you try to help God out, you're just messed up. I'm telling you today, get your hands off it and let God do what he do. He does it so well. He does it better than anybody else that I know. And because you have to wait. Because you have to wait, you struggle with the fact that I have to wait. But I want to encourage somebody on tonight that will hear the word of God and hear the voice of God that who is going through tonight. I know you're tired. I know you said I'm ready to throw in the towel. And let me tell you something. That's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to throw in the towel because he can't physically. Physically make you do that, but he can try to make you so emotionally weary that you'll give it up to yourself. I come to let somebody know your company belongs to you so that the enemy can be satisfied. Let me tell you something. The enemy can't do any more to you than what you allow him to. Let's look at you. Job was a man who was upright. And I had a friend of mine in our church on last Friday. He was so busy. The enemy is so busy looking at your head, at the hedge around you that protects you. He doesn't realize what really is securing you is your soul. And it's the one thing that God says to Satan, you can't have his soul. I'll lift the hedge, but you can't take his soul. You got to leave his soul alone because the soul belongs to you. And let me tell you something. If your enemy gets your soul, he gets your life.
Yes.
And so, he can take the hedge. He can do things around you. Things can happen around you. Tragedy can happen around you. Financial breakdown can happen around you. But if your soul is anchored, that's the old saint said, when your soul is anchored in Jesus, It doesn't matter what happens around me. I can wait until God fixes it. And I come to let somebody know tonight, let Jesus fix it for you. I want to share with you on tonight that God is a God who is able. I mean, I know we look at so many tragic things that happen in our society today. And there are things that you may have gone through in life where you get to the point where you feel like he ain't coming. They have another cliche. It's not scripture, but it's a cliche that we have taken and adopted. And it says he may not come when you want him. But he is always on. I find that to be so true, Elder Clay, that God always kind of works it out. Just when I'm about to drop, just when I'm about to give up, there's enough strength in me to reach beyond the break and hold on a little while longer.
Amen, amen.
I want to share some of you today. If you reach beyond what is breaking and hold on to God, I promise send his angels to take charge over you. And before you fall and before you give up, God says, I will hold on to you at your time. That's where God gets the glory. That's where God gets the glory. Watch this. And when it happens like that, it allows your faith to be strengthened. Because you're going to say, when you come out of your situation after waiting for a period of time, you're going to make statements like, there is no God like our God.
Amen.
He can do exceedingly above anything I can ask him.
Yes,
so I waited and trusted on God. So we talked about tonight waiting, W-A-I-T, being greater than the wait. But can I tell you, when that wait is greater than the wait, the blessing is greater than you expected. Amen. So I'm going to ask anybody if they want to share anything today. I'm about to go up and run around this office in a minute because I feel God in this place tonight. But there's somebody else that may be able to share with us tonight and encourage somebody to let them know that you may be going through some things in life, but your waiting period will cause a greater blessing for you than you expected.
Yeah.
The line is open for you tonight.
Amen. All mics are open. All mics are open. Hallelujah.
If the mics are open, y'all need to just go ahead and open up your mouth and praise God right there, because I believe that somebody's being blessed right where they are. Mm-hmm. I know you're trying to be considerate of everybody on the line, but I believe God spoke to somebody tonight. You can just open up your mouth and give him a praise right where you are.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless you.
Hallelujah.
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 Yes, yes.
Amen. I believe that we have some extremely blessed people on the line, and I want us to share this word with somebody else, because there are so many people who are struggling with the fact that they have to hold on. Holding on financially, holding on physically with their own body, waiting for God's healing to take place, to the point where we start questioning if he is gone or not. Not because nothing has been done, but nothing has been done in the time frame we thought it should have been done. See, that's when we get upset with God, because we waited and we're expecting, but we could not see the fulfillment in our time that we had allotted for God to do. When we start stop taking the time and get those limits off of God, I'm telling you tonight that God can work a little bit faster on your behalf, because he's waiting for you to trust him.
Yes.
He's waiting for you to really, really trust him. And so I want to share with you today the expectation of waiting on God is going to bless you greater than you ever thought it would. Anybody else want to share anything tonight?
Man, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the mics are open. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Jesus. Amen.
You know, I like the story. I've always enjoyed the story of Rachel and Leah. I particularly, though, I never thought about the waiting, like you said. And when you read the story, first of all, thank you so much for ministering this evening. I always enjoy hearing you. And your this message this evening, I want to make sure that we remind people that all of our messages are archived, and that if you want to share it with someone, pass it on. You can always go to Blog Talk Radio, to our site, and send it to them in an attachment or on Facebook or whatever, but I'm going to share this message just in case, you know, people haven't heard it, just continue to spread it, because all of us have been either waiting at some time in our lives, and all of us have carried the weight that the Lord has not called us to carry, you know, and I like the way that you broke this message down. One thing I never really realized in this story with Rachel and Leah was that they were waiting too. And I never really paid attention to that both of them were waiting. It wasn't just Jacob waiting, but that Leah and Rachel were waiting too. Rachel was waiting for a husband and then waiting for, you know, for to be a mother, and Leah waiting for her husband to love her,
right?
You know, waiting to be appreciated. So I thought that was very, very interesting. And even the part when you think about the weight system they were carrying, that they were in, you know, waiting as far as time was concerned, but the burden of carrying the weight also, I never really, really thought of it. I always thought of just the relationship of those sisters and how they had gone through, and, you know, how sisters can be put, you know, what the relationship was like. But I appreciate this teaching. This is really, really spoke to me. So I'll be sharing it, and I'm with you. I'm with you, Pastor. I want to run around too.
It's interesting as well. When you think of Jacob, after making this agreement that he would wait 7 years, found out that he was tricked. Mm-hmm. And he had to wait another 7 years. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Jacob had a, you know, in genealogy, you know, had a past history of being a trickster himself. You know, that's a definition of Jacob's name, you know, joker, trickster. And anyway, he was not frustrated. We're promised something, a paycheck on a certain day. We expect that paycheck to be there.
Right.
But anyway, he maintained his calmness and waited.
Yeah.
So we can face the illnesses and all that kind of stuff, you know, and we expect things to happen like instantaneously, you know. And it doesn't necessarily work that way. We have to wait for God to do his will, and we don't know what his will is. He reveals that to us on his terms, not ours.
Absolutely. And when Jacob says that when he worked for Rachel for 7 years, he said it didn't seem but a few days. So the physical aspect of what Jacob was working for, that's what I'm talking about as far as the physical weight of things, him working his 9 to 5 as it would be, was nothing compared to the actual waiting for Rachel. You know, and then to turn around and wait again. And so a lot of times we put up, you know, we put up with the jobs we're on. We put up with working at 9 to 5, waiting for God to release us into what our destiny is. And the actual physical job is not really the problem. It's waiting for the release from that job. And so Jacob is looking for the release so that he can get what's possible. So
Yeah.
That's what I believe that a lot of us, it's not the physical necessarily thing that we do from day to day that affects us. It's waiting on the promise that we've been waiting to receive is what makes it somewhat difficult for some of us. And it impacts our emotional, and when it attacks our emotional part of who we are, it also attacks the physical part of who we are.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm believing, God, that somebody heard this today, really so that they can go a little bit longer of what they may be facing in life, to know that at the end of this, after I get through my true place, that it's going to be greater than what I started off with.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
You know? And so God allows things to come in our life at different times and different seasons for different purposes. And when we recognize that anything that comes in our life is for a purpose, whether we put ourselves in that position or people put us in that position, we're in that position for a purpose and a reason. We're either going to learn from it, or we're going to allow it to take us over. And I'm praying and I'm believing to listening on tonight on the line will allow themselves to be blessed, that whatever they go through, that it will teach them. Trials and your tribulations come to make you stronger, not weaker. And so when we get to the place where we understand that we are going to become stronger in what we're because of what we've been through, we'll realize the blessing of it all.
Amen. 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 I just wanted to, it's just an important message, and, you know, especially those who are listening, because sometimes we want things at our time, and it's not our season for that time. So that's one of the things that, you know, that I gained from it, Pastor. The other thing was I saw 7 as a sign of completion, you know, and Jacob waited 7 years, and 7 years to us is a long time, but in God's eyesight, in God's timing, it's not long at all. And I like how you emphasized that, you know, that it was only a short time, that 7 years, even though he chose to work another 7 years, it was only a short time. And, you know, that's just a message to us that when we wait on God, that what is here is long in an earthly sense, it's in a spiritual sense, it's not that long. So, you know, it doesn't make a difference what anyone is going through. If they choose to wait on God and just waiting on God, that God will bless them within that season.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So, I definitely enjoyed the message.
Definitely. So I'd just like to say, to interject, that what I get from this is it's a temporary situation for a permanent purpose. And I thank God for this message because it truly resonated in my soul.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Pastor Mixon, we're going to, as we get closer toward that hour, you know, if you have any comments or any, you know, anything that you would like to share, some things that's coming up in your area in Huntington, you know, we don't even know if any of the listeners oftentimes travel, and at least they have a point, you know, a place that they can point to or a location of a church that they can go to if they happen to be in 1 hour. Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely. We're in Huntington, Long Island. We're at 1520 New York Avenue in Huntington Station. We are actually going to be in our 10th anniversary on Friday night starting at 7:30. Again, our location is 1520 New York Avenue in Huntington Station. We're grateful to God that Pastor Van Dale Atkins is going to be with us on this Friday at 7:30. We have a blessed time that we're having. God is going to do something great for us. The 27th of this month, which is the Sunday, the last Sunday of the month, we will have our actual 6th anniversary. We are celebrating 86 years in our existence, and that we are going to have our Pastor Gloria Mitchell, your pastor, will be speaking on that morning at 10:30 a.m. And that afternoon at 4:30 p.m., Pastor Dennis Cook from Far Rockaway will be with us. We're welcoming all of you to come and be a part of that again. We're at 1520 New York Avenue in Huntington Station. Those who might want to meet up, I am on Facebook under Dawn Mixon. You can find me there. Share something, drop a line with me. I'll respond to you. I'm trusting and believing that God is going to do something with this line, that God, those who are listening are going to be lectured. There are people who are home, who are less stricken, that don't have a computer, but they have a telephone. And if this is your only access to God, I pray tonight that the Lord bless you and that you receive a word. On each Wednesday night, I thank Pastor Patrick Clay and his wife for allowing this to be birthed forth, and that people are able to share and listen in on the Word of God. I just want to briefly close on my part in the Word of God. Father our God, I thank you tonight. I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for the Word that is going forth. I pray for everyone that is on this line, for every listener, for everyone who may have gotten in the beginning, middle, or even may have last hope at the end of this message. I pray, oh God, tonight that you will touch them in a mighty way. For that one of you has been waiting and struggling in their ways, and they are trying to move ahead of God. I pray, oh God, that you will give them, oh God, what they need. I pray, oh God, that you give them strength to endure hardness as a good soldier. I pray, oh God, that one who is dealing with the loss of someone, for that one who is dealing with a tragic situation, for that one who is about to give, I pray tonight, oh God, that you bless them in a mighty way. Cover them, oh God. God, even with the hedge may be lifted, I pray, oh God, that you will touch their soul and continue.
Yes, God.
Let them to hunt, continue to hold on to the hand of the altar. They don't give up now. That they will hold on. I pray for those who are sick, those who are shut in, for those who are looking for you, for searching and hungering and thirsting after your righteousness, for your brightness. For God, you shall fill them in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, God, no one struggles because of their weight. I pray, oh God, that no one physically be broken, that no one be financially broken, but you will give and supply their needs. You are God, oh God. You shall provide for us. And we tell you, thank you, God, for what you have already done, what you are offering, and what is to come. I pray for every door that's about to be opened for my sisters and brothers that are on this line. God, because of your glory, that we are able, that we were not consumed, and that God, you have blessed us. And we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We'd like to thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio this evening. We pray that you have been blessed with the word. We know that we have. We'd like to invite you back next Wednesday. We have Bishop Palmer from Allen in D.C. and will be with us. And if you could join in, that's coming upon us. The call in number is 347-227-4054. And keep in mind that we love you the most of all. God loves you most. God bless you.
Yeah.
Alone again. Thank you.